God and say, Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Leon. How many would like to have Leon and back for a whole Sunday? Wouldn't that be awesome? Whoa. I mean, you know, that man is just anointed from the top of his head to his little toe. And we thank God for that. Good morning, everybody. Good to have you here. Hallelujah. And if you're wondering what my wristbands are this morning, it's a reminder that we're going to Uganda next October, and pray for us. I put it on every day to remind me of the assignment of the nations, the pastors that are awaiting us, the monies that we need to raise, and believe God that we're going to be able to penetrate that nation with the gospel and raise up churches. Did you know that you and I have been directly responsible in the last 3 years for helping to raise up nearly 2,000 churches in Uganda? Come on, church. That's awesome. 2,000 churches? Woo! Preaching the gospel? And I'm telling these people are so committed, they will go into the most hostile areas and preach this gospel. They'll cross into Sudan. They'll go into the most stronghold, Islamic stronghold that they can find, and they will preach, and they care not about their life. I mean, it's an incredible thing. I'm so humbled that I come there to teach and to lay hands on them and to pray for them when I ought to have them lay hands on me. You see, we are connected with the nations of the earth. So continue to be faithful to your faith promise and missions. And we're going to receive our tithe and offering at the end of the service. So I hope you didn't get confused here earlier in that particular offering. But we wanted to bless Leon. And I pray that, you know, that offering is huge. Because he said, look, I got five people, but we're going to be in the area. We'll come for no money. You just, if you want to bless us, just bless us. And I want to say thanks to the Hakems. They opened their home to keep all five of those people there. And I mean, it's just a blessing to have him here today. And he's going over to Beachwood. Matter of fact, he's going over there right now, and they don't know what they're going to get, do they? They're about to get hit right between the eyes. Amen. Is that right, Nadine? I don't know where you're at. You're here this morning. Where are you? There you are. Yeah, they're going to get blessed, aren't they? And I told them to, you know, just let him extend that worship time a little bit and let them just get a good dose of Leon Timbo. I don't know if we have any of his music in the back, but pick some of it up. We do? We have some of it up back there? Okay, good. Hey, listen, I want to talk this morning just for a couple of minutes. Anyway, for some time with you concerning the highest level of thanksgiving a man or a woman can enter into. And it's a realm that is very, very minute. It's a remnant realm. Everybody say that with me. Remnant realm. Isaiah 65 and verse 24. This is a promise by the prophet Isaiah. It says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Can you imagine there's a day coming? I believe it's here. That God said, before they even call upon me, I'm going to start answering what they need. And while they're still speaking, I'm going to say, I got it. I believe that was prophesied for this day, for this age, for this generation that we are in. And I'm going to invite all of us to participate in this realm. But like in Luke 17, we read in verses 12 through 16, that there was 10 lepers. You remember that story? And all of them got healed. But only one came back to give God thanks. But you got to notice what happened. It says in that scripture that he came back, fell on his face before the Lord and said thank you. The other nine were well on their way with what they had just received from the Lord. And I believe there's always a 10% amount of people who are a remnant people who will walk in this level of being able to declare things, and before it even gets out of your mouth, God says, got it. While you're speaking, he said, got it. And things are going to begin to move in your life because you have entered into a realm of a level of thanksgiving and obedience to God. Because the scripture says in verse 19 that his faith not only healed him, but his faith made him whole. And the word whole and healed are two different words. Yes, the leprosy was gone, but for the other nine, all they got was a clean bill of health. But that one who returned into the presence of God and began to honor him with his obedience in worship, he not only got healed in his body, but he got wholeness in his life. You and I can walk in wholeness of life. You know what I believe? That the church spends a lot of time wasting their moments in prayer. Now, wait a minute. Don't get upset yet. You're saying, wait a minute, Pastor, we're supposed to pray. Yeah, but you know what? A lot of the prayers that we pray are working against us. We get in there and say, well, Lord, you know it's been hard. And God, you know that I don't have enough money this week. And God, you know that I'm just so weak, I can't hardly make it. Please come and touch me. Wait a minute, you just canceled out the word. Because there's life and death in the power of your tongue. Here you are asking God to do something you don't believe he can do. You see, we're talking this morning about a realm where Isaiah 49:25 says, God contends with all that contend with you. God contends with those who contend with you. And I will save your children. Contend means there to wrangle. It means to quarrel. It means to roll up my sleeves and get my dukes out. God says, anybody that quarrels with you, I'll take the argument over. Anybody that's pushing you back, I'll stand in your stead and I'll push them back. In other words, I'll step in between you and the trouble, you and the adversary. See, there is an opportunity for us this morning as a church to begin living in a realm that we've not been introduced to and we've not even expected to live in. But I'm going to introduce us to it today. I want to pull the curtains back on it, and I want us to understand that you can begin living in a realm that contends with everything that contends with you, that you can reach heaven every time without having to shout. That you as well can live in this realm and compel things to happen on their own. You don't have to belly up in some kind of prayer saying, oh God, oh God, oh God. You know what? I think the devil has so confused us. We spend so much time in prayer about things that we don't even need to pray about. If we can enter this realm, it'll happen on its own. I'm talking about a people that walk around so blessed and highly favored, and you think, well, I don't have to pray about money. Money cometh. I don't have to pray about health. I walk in health. I don't have to pray about peace in my home. I live in peace. You say, well, how do you do that? I'm over here praying that I'd have peace in my house and nothing's happening. I pray that I get money in my wallet and nothing's happening. Because you're in the 90 percentile. I want to get into that 10 percentile. I want to be part of that remnant that learns how to release things and make things happen on their own. And the reason for it is because I found a new position with God. I'm on my face at His feet. And I'm here to bless Him and to worship Him. I want to enter into the elite core of the kingdom. You can live in a direct line faith. Anybody know what direct line is? A direct line means that when you make the call, you don't get Michael. Come on, man. Come on. You don't get Gabriel. You don't get some low-level angel going, hello, this is heaven, what do you want now? No, I'm talking about direct line faith. That when you call, before you pick up the phone, God is already sending the answer. It's like calling for financial advice, and Bill Gates says, hello, this is Bill. It's like saying, you know, I want to make an investment in real estate, and I need some advice. And Donald Trump answers the phone and goes, how can I help you? sort of like this.
Thank you for calling Apple. How can I help you?
Hi, yeah, I have a question. Actually, can I talk to Steve Jobs about this?
You mean our CEO?
Yeah, that's him.
Hold on 1 second. Let me transfer you.
Hello?
Hi, is this Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve.
Hi, yeah, I just got this new computer, and I'm wondering how to turn it on.
You know what? Just the power button right to your right. Go ahead and give that a push.
Oh, yeah, I see it there, yeah. So I just push that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't push it hard. Okay, I see. Okay, yeah, now it's working. Thank you very much.
All right, man, not a problem. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
That's called direct line. To get to the person that you need to respond. And you and I can walk in this direct line relationship. How many would like God's cell phone number this morning? All right. I mean, you know, if I could give you his private cell phone number. You see, yeah, Jeremiah 3:33. That's Brother Jim. He's taught me that for years. He said, call upon the name of the Lord and I will show you great and mighty things. Jeremiah 3:33. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, read that part with me, will you? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let's read that one more time. Go back. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's a key phrase. Look at the next verse. Verse 6. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Read that with me again. Church, don't let this slip by your thinking. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is full. I'm learning something that when my obedience is full, I punish some stuff. When my obedience is full, I punish disobedience or I punish the consequences of disobedience. Verse 6 is a key verse because I believe that rather than praying the problem, you can destroy strongholds, bring down imaginations just by your own obedience to the instructions of God. I don't have to pray about the problem. All I've got to do is fill up my obedience, and my obedience punishes the consequences of disobedience. You follow what I'm talking about? You see, this is the highest form of thanksgiving and living that a Christian can enter into. But few ever enter into this elite status. Most of the church only knows the 1-800 number. Let's listen to that.
Thank you for calling customer support. Your call is extremely important to us. Please hold as long as necessary. If you still need assistance, please press 1. Para continuar, en inglés, por favor, pulse 1. To continue in Spanish, press 2. If you are still on the line and need help, please press 3. To help us understand which language you would like to continue in, please choose one of the following. To select a romance language, press 1. To select a dead language, such as Latin or ancient Egyptian, press 2. For sign language, press...
Sign language?
Thank you for continuing in English.
You're welcome.
Remember, your call is important to us. Please select the region from which you are calling. For South America, press 1. For Central America, press 2. For North Vietnam, press 3. For Antarctica, press 5. For North America, press 6. We are aware of current difficulties in the local area of North America. We are working hard to correct these difficulties as quickly as possible. Thank you for calling customer support, and have a wonderful day.
Now that's the typical frustrations of a Christian who lives outside of this realm of 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 6. They're trying to pray through the problem. And you keep having to hit another number to get to another level, which never leads to the answer, but leads you to another number that brings you back around to the frustration of experiencing the problem over again. And years pass, and it's like, you know what? Why even bother praying? I don't believe that most Christians don't want to pray. I believe most Christians don't want to bother trying to get trapped in the automated system of religion mindset. You know, a lot of times businesses may overcharge you. And you say, you know what, I want my $4.87 back. Well, you just got to call customer service. And so you attempt to call customer service to get $4.87 back. 30 minutes later, while you're still on hold, you've spent that much in your phone bill. There's a system out there that causes delays. There's a system out there that will begin to oppose you so that you might be worn out. Church, the church this morning is worn out because we have tried the 1-800 number in God's kingdom. We think that that's the way you have to approach the throne of God. But Isaiah said there's a time coming that when my people call, I will answer them before they even hit the first digit. When my people are still speaking, I will dispatch the answer and it will overtake them while they're still talking. For example, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 25 tells us that we're wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You're going, okay, all right, wait a minute, time out, that's it. There's no way I'm going to submit to that bum. Now watch this. Next verse, for the husband is the head of the wife. Oh yeah, not in this house. I wear the pants in this house. As also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Next verse. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Ha ha, not on my watch. You have verse 26 by any chance? It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. There is no way I can love this woman. Now, both of those people come to church on Sunday and they ask the pastor to pray for their marriage. They're praying every day, oh Lord, please change my husband. Oh God, do something with this woman. Oh God, please bring peace into our home. And you're caught up in the 1-800 quagmire of foolish praying. Why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6 says, when your obedience is filled, you will take captive all disobedience and the consequences of it. In other words, why are we praying for God to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves? In other words, we have raised up a generation of believers who think we can live any way we want to live and expect God to answer our prayers. I don't even have to pray about peace in my marriage. You know why? Because I love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to the best of my ability. And guess what? As a result, I have caused all the consequences of disobedience in my home to cease and desist. I don't have to pray about peace. I've got peace. I don't have to pray about a woman that's madly in love with me and can't keep her hands off me. Those are faith confessions. She doesn't have to pray about a husband who, I wish he would just tell me he loves me once in a while. I wish he would just come up and be romantic once in a while. I mean, you know, I'm always interrupting her. I've got the benefits of what? Obedience. And yet we're praying for stuff that we don't even have to pray about. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord. Everybody say diligently.
Diligently.
Obey the voice of the Lord. Watch this. To observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Look at the next verse. And all these what? Shall come upon you and do what? Okay, now watch. God said, if you obey me, blessings are going to come on you and they're going to overtake you. In other words, you may even be out of position, but because you're obedient to me, we will run you down. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I believe our days have been consumed by desperate prayers, by crisis prayers, by needy prayers, instead of concentrating or taking inventory of the level of your obedience to the Word of God. You know what? You would be better served, I would be better served, if I'd stop all this foolish praying and start going, okay, God, now where have I been disobedient? Holy Spirit, show me. And then he starts giving you a checklist. Wife, children, don't tithe, don't... And you know, he'll give you a list. You'd be better served to pray about where your obedience is lacking. Because according to God's word in 2 Corinthians 10 and 6, and now in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2, and throughout Scripture, that if we walk in obedience, blessings shall come upon us, and blessings shall overtake us. So all I've got to do now is line myself up with the word of God. See, I don't have to even worry about praying about it. I can't remember the last time I prayed about my marriage. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I ever have. But I'm trying to think of when I prayed, oh God, do something with this woman. I can't remember if I've ever prayed that. I don't have to waste my time. See, on that stuff. I'm living in another realm because I've been obedient to it. Now look at this. When your obedience in any area is fulfilled, you automatically avenge all disobedience and its consequence. Every act of disobedience carries with it severe consequences. Are you aware of that? Okay, four of you are. I'm serious now. Every act of disobedience, by the law of disobedience, carries with it a consequence. So here we are, disobedient, living in consequences, praying that God will take and lift the consequences. I don't know that God can. Now, in grace, the Lord often overlooks our stupidity. How many are glad about that? And he will lift it, giving us opportunity to walk in obedience. But generally speaking, for example, how about Saul? Saul was told that he is to go ahead and destroy the Amalekites. You remember that story? He was told in 1 Samuel 15, 21 to 23, I want you to go destroy the Amalekites. And this is what he said, because he didn't do it. And he's trying to make amends for it. He's trying to make a defense for it. He says this, but the people took of the plunder and the sheep and the oxen and the best of things which should have been utterly destroyed. I know that. But they were going to use it to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, in Gilgal. Next verse, verse 22. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is what? But Lord, I go to church on Sunday. God, I even prayed last night, and Lord, you know I gave to missions when those little African kids were here. Come on now. And God said, you know what? Isn't obedience better than sacrifice? It's like going to get ice cream. You could either get that fluffy stuff that McDonald's serves. What is that called? That's soft serve. Or you can go to the creamery. Huh? Butter pecan. How many know that that's better? See, we're living in the lower level by our sacrifice. And we want God now, because we've sacrificed, to do for us what he said in his word. And God said, you know, wait. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And to heed the fat of rams. Is there a next verse there? Watch this now. I'm not going to get personal, but I'm going to get personal. For rebellion. Now, what's the context of this scripture? Disobedience, right? So now he switches it. He goes, for disobedience is as the sin of what? Okay, everybody say it with me. Witchcraft. I would never involve myself in witchcraft, Pastor. I'm a Christian. Let's read it again. For disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. You know how many witches we have in church? I knew she was one. I knew it, God. I knew. You say, well, it doesn't say disobedience. It says rebellion. Oh. So the prophet interchanged the words through the Holy Spirit to say that disobedience and rebellion are the same thing. So when I operate in disobedience, I've now operated in the realm of witchcraft. But wait, there's more. Read the next part with me. Ready? Read. And, oh, wait a minute. And disobedience is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, this is even, I mean, you talk about getting more uncomfortable. First, I'm a witch. Warlock. Now, I am stubborn. And I'm an idolater. But wait, there's more. Because you have done what? Rejected the word of the Lord. You mean my disobedience is rejecting God's word? I thought in America we have a right to make our own choices. This is a democracy. Now, all of a sudden, my disobedience is not only working against me, I'm praying hard to get through the 1-800 quagmire of trying to get to God. I'm living in consequences and can't understand why this kingdom thing doesn't work. Now I'm dabbling in witchcraft and the occult, and I've opened myself up to all kinds of demonic spirits. Now I've become an idolater. I've become one with those demonic spirits. Not only that, but I have proclaimed rejection to the eternal word of God. You say, Pastor, that's not the case. I just don't believe in tithing. You can sugarcoat it all you want, church. Say, you got to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. No way, not a chance, not till she changes. You can say anything you want. You can defend yourself all day long. But it does not say, for rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being... Oh, wait a minute, I forgot that part. He is also what? From being what? No wonder we don't rule and reign. No wonder we're being reigned and ruled. We can't operate in our authority when we're in disobedience. You see the consequence of this? You see how sharp the devil is? He knows exactly how to get us in a place where we're spinning our wheels and we're not making any headway. Because we're walking in disobedience and praying about stuff that we shouldn't even have to talk about. We can begin praying for souls. We can begin declaring and decreeing. We can begin creating out of the words of our mouth. Instead of whining and crying and grumbling and complaining about stuff that is a consequence of our own doing. I know that's hard to hear. Please forgive me. Hebrews chapter 5 and 8 says that Jesus learned obedience through the things he what? Suffered. Now the word suffered there isn't like enduring. It means this: experience the sensation or the impression of pain. Jesus only did what the Father said for him to do. He only went where the Father told him to go. He walked in perfect obedience. But you know how he learned that? Because anytime he veered to the right or veered to the left, there was pain there going, you better get back on that road. So he learned obedience in a human body, that you must be obedient to the word of the Lord. And it was like little bumpers on the road of his obedience to God. Every time he got to the right or any time he got to the left, it was like a little electric shock. Toop, toop. And he walked totally in obedience to the Father. You and I ought to be sensitive. Anytime we're disobedient, alarms ought to go off. Because the consequences is that we are giving rights and privileges to demonic spirits. We are participating in witchcraft. We are now becoming idolaters. And we are going to lose our authority on the earth. And see, in America, we thought we have a right to disobey God's word. We have options to disobey God's word. So obedience is the antidote to the suffering that we're experiencing as a result of our disobedience. Now, I'm not saying we don't have suffering in our life as a result of obedience. That's another sermon. Well, don't classify me in one big hump. But using the obedience connection will earn you much more than you can ever ask for in prayer. I like this scripture, Isaiah 1:19. You know it? If, read it with me, ready? If you are, now you read that like you're reading the morning paper after you just got out of bed without your coffee yet. So come on, let's read it and declare it. Are you ready? Ready? Let's read it. Ready? Go. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. By that declaration of scripture, God's told me, today there's good in my land. Amen? There's good in my land. But watch this. The good of the land is available to everybody, but access to it is only for the obedient. There is good coming to you, but it's only accessible to the obedient. I believe blessing is over top of your head. I believe that it's trying to overtake you. I believe God is sending the missiles of blessing into your life, the fiery missiles of blessing. But you know, it can't hit its target. We've got a shield over us. It's called disobedience. I want to position myself for the good of God to come upon me. There is much good in your land, but you'll never know it. Living in disobedience and stubbornness. See, I believe simple obedience attracts God. Have you ever seen those commercials? Guys, I know you've seen them. Where you wear a certain cologne and chicks come from everywhere. And you go out and buy some thinking it's going to work that way. You walk down the mall, ain't nobody looking at you. You know, you're thinking, wow, this stuff ain't working. But in the kingdom, when you put on obedience, angelic powers come from everywhere. There's a sensory in the kingdom that when obedience is witnessed, it attracts angelic beings and God himself. You see, I believe that God is attracted to obedience and it will result in your success. I can prove that. Genesis 12 and verse 4, it says that Abraham departed after God told him to go. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. But look at the verses preceding to that. Verses 2 and 3, did you know that Abraham never prayed for this? You can't find in the Bible one time that Abraham prayed for this. He didn't have to waste his time. Watch. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know why he got that? Because he departed when he was told to. He never spent time saying, oh God, if you'll just bless me. Ah, bless me, God. If you'll make my name great. If you'll help me here. He was just obedient. And God poured out a blessing. When God told him to go to the mountain and sacrifice his son, his only son, he didn't have to pray about it. He just did it. I don't know where that came from. Well, I do know where it came from. But why we use that as Christians? When the Holy Ghost is speaking, we'll say, well, I need to pray about that. Why? Why do you need to pray about it? You know you ain't going to pray about it anyway. Why do we even say that kind of stuff? It's because we have been infiltrated in our mind to think religiously. That the only way we hear from God, the only way we get anything from God is if we pray about it. I'm obedient to God. I get all kind of blessings. They fall down on me and they overtake me. Matter of fact, I'm being blessed this morning. And blessings are going to overtake me sometime today. I don't know when. But I'm in the land that God gave me. And you know what? If I'm willing and obedient, I'm going to eat the good of it. I'm going to expect the good to come to you today. That's why old Robert said, something good is about to happen to you today. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse 10 and 11. Don't get nervous. Verse 9, it says, you were cursed with a curse. Watch. You were cursed with a curse. God doesn't curse any man. God doesn't curse any man. Watch this. We curse ourselves. Disobedience releases the curse. Obedience releases what? The blessing. Here's verse 10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. Next verse. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. It's all predicated on obedience. I'm persuaded, 100% persuaded, that the key to the economic revival in this region is God's obedient people being obedient. I'm persuaded of that. So if all you've got is $10, just fess up for a buck. If all you have is a dollar, give God a dime. But let's honor the Lord with the first fruits of our increase so we can release the blessing and get out of the 1-800 lifestyle of frustration and really a ridiculous cycle of repetitive jargon and nothingness. I want the direct line to Bill, to Donald, to Steve. When I call upon the name of the Lord in Jeremiah 3:33, I want him to show me great and mighty things. I want to challenge you today as a family. I want to challenge you as an individual to take inventory of where you're not being obedient. You say, well, you know, I just can't forgive her. The Bible says we got to forgive. I may forgive, but I'll never forget. That's all right. God will help you with that. But you just do the first part. You forgive. See, there are things in our life that if we'll take inventory and spend more time on where we're not being obedient, the blessings will come on us and they will overtake us. Church on the North Coast, I want to challenge you as we finish this year to finish strong. He who endures to the end shall be saved. One thing I've made a promise in my life as a Christian is I will not disgrace 30 years of ministry and work in the last days of my life. I will not slow down or I will not alter my passion in the last days of my ministry. I want to go out with people remembering more what I just did than what I had accomplished early in my life. I want us to think in terms of what can we do as a people to make a statement in this region that we are no-nonsense believers up in here. That we believe that God is who He said He was. and that we take our position of obedience no matter what, we're going to be obedient to the King. So this morning, if you'd like to repent of your failure to tithe and start the blessings flowing, I'm going to give you that opportunity. You can do it right now. You can do it right now. I've told the church for years, if every person, did you know we have 2,300 people that come to this church on a regular rotating basis? We do. I'm serious. That's how many give every year. Periodically, you know, they give something. 2,300 people. And I've multiplied it out. If it's just the average income and they all tithe, we would 2.5 times our income as a church. That's amazing to me. That's amazing. But you know what? Forget the money. How much blessing would come upon your life? How much good of the land would you begin to experience? And what about your home? What about getting your marriage lined up with the Word of God? You see, when we can begin doing that and begin to act like Jesus, who died for that church, so much so, guys, we need to die to ourselves for our wives. We don't have to pray about our homes, our marriage. We don't have to even pray. We're praying about stuff that we ought not to even be wasting our time on, because obedience will deal with it. Are you ready this morning to walk in obedience to God? Amen. This is our tithe and offering. It is time to give unto the Lord. Come on, church. Let's just thank God. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Father, bless the gift and the giver this morning. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. Put up my confession. Did you get one this morning? Did we have enough for everybody? I just want to declare that. I just want to say this, and maybe we'll get him to testify. But I had a call this week from a family in our church who said, you know what, I'm just so thankful. We confessed this last Sunday, and this week we were able to sell some real estate. Because God will bring to pass what you believe for. Watch this. Say it with me. Proverbs 3:3-4. Mercy and truth are in my heart. I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Lord, your divine favor produces supernatural increase and promotion in my life. How many believe that? Amen. Number two, total restoration of everything the enemy has stolen. Number three, honor in the midst of our adversaries. Number four, increased assets, especially in the area of real estate. Number five, greater victories in the midst of greater or impossible odds. My last phrase, my abundance is a supply for the needs of others. I sow bountifully, therefore I reap bountifully in Jesus' name. The Lord says, whatever I'll reap what I sow the word, and I refuse anything contrary to it. Is that your life today? Amen. Lord, bless this gift now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. You can receive that offering. Minister Troy's coming. He'll finish out the service. Pray for us as we travel from here to there. I covet your prayers because of safety and the angels that go before us. We know that calling those things that are not as though they were, God's presence will make it happen. We are excited about Thursday nights. This Thursday, there will be no service. Thanksgiving, Saturday morning, and then next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I also want to say, get involved in a salt and light group. Get involved in a small group. We're going to have our salt and light groups out in the foyer after church. Get plugged in. I also want to say, guys, we need your help. We need all the men that will volunteer with Rob White and his team once a month to come here and fix things, maintenance this facility and building. We're excited about it. Also, just in a few weeks, our ushers and greeters are going to clean the sanctuary and the foyer and the restrooms right after service. You'd like to participate and help us, either see Hans or Bobby Roberson, and we'll employ you. Why do we need to do that? You know it takes one person 2.5 days to vacuum this entire building? But if we all did it together, we could probably be done in 15 minutes. That reminds me as well, when you leave, take your tissues with you. We really have no use for them. You know, look around and say, I need to pick this up or that up. Let's leave the house of God, not like a concert hall. Amen. If your chair got out of line, straighten it up a little bit. And let's give God all the glory. And we're excited about what is on the horizon for this ministry. Do you feel the presence of God in your life? Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Mr. Troy, God bless you. Get an altar call.
Amen. After you've given, can you stand to your feet, church? You know, truth always demands a response biblically. You search the scriptures, you'll find. Every time a patriarch or somebody in the Bible experienced God's revelatory truth, it demanded a response from them. Many times they would build an altar. Jacob, God revealed himself to him. Jacob said, I must respond to God's presence. I must respond to the truth I've received. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. If you need prayer this morning, you say, I've been disobedient. I've been stubborn and I've been disobedient. If you need prayer this morning, altar ministers are coming now. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to the truth you've heard this morning. Maybe it doesn't mean you need to come to an altar minister. Maybe you just need to come to the altar. But we want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. So as the Spirit leads you this morning, just get out from where you are and make your way to the front. We want to be obedient to the presence of the Lord. Let's pray, church. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us today, for not allowing us to stay disobedient and stubborn. Thank you for revealing truth to us today. We want to see your glory come to the earth. We want to see you be revealed to the earth. We want to see the power of the Lord released in the earth. So thank you, God, for speaking to us. Thank you for the word that comes to our heart and encourages us and makes us more like you. We worship you and we celebrate you today as the living church, alive in the earth, to do the signs and wonders that Jesus promised we would do. We give you praise and glory. And now, God, if there be any in here this morning that wandered in that do not know you, if that's you today, church, if you've come in here, if there's someone that's come in here this morning, you say, I do not know Jesus the way I heard him described this morning, and I want to. Right there where you stand, a moment between you and the Creator of heaven and earth, it belongs to you. You pray for the Holy Spirit's conviction right now. Conviction is not condemnation. Conviction leads to everlasting life, so embrace it. If you are lost in your sin this morning, that's you. Just pick your head up to the heavens and look toward God today and say, save me. Ask him into your life and say, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe you are the Savior of the world. And I confess with my mouth that you hung on a cross for me, and I want to live my life for you. With your face lifted to heaven, just begin to talk to your Father today and thank him for grace that brought you to this place today and rescued from the pit of hell your soul. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in here today. You've restored, you've renewed, you've delivered, and you've set free in this place today, captives. We give you praise, God. And we say that when we leave this place, we will take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the other ends of the world. We will proclaim the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Won't you give the Lord one more shout of praise and hand clap? He is good. If you need prayer, come to the altar. If you're sick in your body, if you have a need this morning, we want to pray for you. If you have questions about the ministry, our elders would like to meet with you in the back. They'd like to get you started in the Foundations of Faith classes. And they'd like to answer any questions you might have this morning. Right there in the back where those tables are lit up, our elders are there to meet with you. If you need personal ministry, they can give that to you as well. Don't forget, youth, Friday night is your first night together right here in this church building. bless you as you go. Hey, don't forget to see the table out there. Leon Timbo's CDs are for sale. I don't know how much they are, but Kendra will meet you out there. And there's only a few left, so you want to stop by there and get those. God bless you as you go. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Amen.